Acts. Acts chapter 10, and I'll be reading verses 34 through 48. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 10, beginning verse 34. Peter began to speak. Now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation, the person who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. He sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with Him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything He did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem, and yet they killed Him by hanging Him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and caused Him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that through His name, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and declaring the greatness of God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Him to stay for a few days. You may be seated. We've been looking at a study in the book of Acts. Specifically, our section is talking about Peter. Peter was a guy that he had been preaching and was in a town in Israel called Joppa. Joppa is a seacoast town. It's located just right next to modern-day Tel Aviv. I guess it would be more accurate to say modern-day Tel Aviv was built next to Joppa. It's still there. The old city is there, and if you go to Israel, you can visit Simon the Tanner's house, where they say it was. Probably not the same building, but it might be close to the same location. And Peter was there. God had a meeting planned, but Peter wasn't ready for the meeting. Peter had some ideas of how things ought to be. You know, you don't know anybody else like that that has ideas of how things ought to be. No, and never any of us. Yeah, we never have ideas how things ought to be. But Peter was one that had a lot of ideas of how things ought to be. Jesus told Peter that he was going to Jerusalem to die, and Peter said, "That's not going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen." And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Peter. You don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind the things of men." Peter was one that had his own ideas of how things ought to be. And he needed to be prepared by God. So he's hungry. Now, he's not going down to the refrigerator to make himself a sandwich. He's waiting on somebody else to cook him lunch. And he goes up on the roof. Now, this is a seacoast town. If you've been to the coast, and yes, we went last week. Last Monday, we were down in Galveston. You know, there's a breeze blowing off the ocean. And if you get up to the second floor, that breeze is a little bit stronger. And so he was sitting up on the roof enjoying that sea breeze, and he has a vision from God. A vision of something he described as a sheet let down from heaven. And all the animals, birds, and reptiles of the world are on that sheet. And God tells him, Peter, kill something and eat it. Peter said, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. God tells him, don't say something's unclean if I say it's clean. He gets that vision three times, and he's trying to figure out what it means. It says he's perplexed. He's confused. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe you've had a dream, and go, I wonder what that dream, that was a weird dream. What could it mean something? You know, it's like, does it mean we're out of dishwashing liquid? No, it doesn't mean that. So you're trying to figure out, what do you think it means? That's what Peter was going through. I wonder what this means. No, it wasn't that. Could it be that? No, it couldn't be that. So he's trying to figure it out on his own. Now, let's switch to Caesarea. There's a Roman soldier, an officer in the Roman army. He's the commander over 100 soldiers. And he is one that is committed to God. He has accepted that the God of Israel is the one true living God. He prays to God regularly. He helps out the Jewish nation. And he has a vision. This guy in shining clothing, he sees him. The guy walks into his house and says, Cornelius, there's a guy in Joppa named Simon. He's also called Peter. Send people to go get him because he's got a message to tell you. So Cornelius immediately sends people to Joppa, which is about a day and a half journey. It's 33 miles. And you didn't hop on the commuter train. You had to walk. And so he immediately sends people. Cornelius didn't go himself because God said, send somebody and have Peter come back. Because it's important that Peter came back. Because the lesson is going to be more for Peter than it is going to be for Cornelius. These people that Cornelius sent arrive at the door where Peter is staying while he's going, I wonder what that meant. Didn't mean that? No, it didn't. And then God says, there's three guys at the door. Don't hesitate to go with them. So Peter goes downstairs, says, I'm the guy you're looking for. What do you need me for? And they say, a devout man, a Roman centurion, not a native of Israel. He's of the Italian regiment. That means he's from someplace else. He had a vision. Said, send for you. We're here to take you to him. Peter says, I know that God wants me to go with you because he just told me that. But it was probably late in the day. He invited me in. They spent the night and left the next morning. Peter meets Cornelius 2 days later. Cornelius says, God told me to send for you, that you have a message I need to hear. And as Peter walks in the house, Cornelius has already gathered everybody he can think of, and they're waiting to hear this message. God had prepared Peter, had prepared Cornelius, and now Peter's going to give his message. Peter begins speaking. Said, now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism. Now, Peter's one that had heard the message already. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus had told the disciples, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, they'd heard that Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria part, but that ends of the earth, he hadn't quite got that lesson yet. And in Matthew 28:19, Jesus had told the disciples at the Great Commission, "You'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And Peter hadn't quite got that to the ends of the earth thing. He was still a little confused about that. So I can understand that God will accept Jewish people or those that have part Jewish heritage. But that ends of the earth thing, I can't understand what that means at all. And Peter's going, "I finally get it." It's, it's like that light bulb goes on. Oh, ends of the earth means ends of the earth. To all the world means to all the world. And like if Matthew was here, he'd be saying, "And all means all." And that's all it means. That's one of those sayings that I think one of the previous superintendents of Conroe School District used to say, "All means all." Well, when God said all to the disciples, he meant all the earth. Because the Jewish people had sort of forgotten. Everybody came from Adam and Eve. We are all part of God's creation. In my biology class, when I get into genetics, I ask the students, "Does your cousin go to school here?" "No, my cousin doesn't go to school here." "Yes, your cousin does go to school here." "What?" "Yes. We are all related. Everybody in this room is at least your cousin, if not closer related. We are all related." And I have a big poster that blown up that fits part of the wall. And on it is the genetics connection between all the people. Interesting. All the genetics go to these three dots. And these three dots are three women. And all the peoples of the earth came from these three women. One of them is even called mitochondrial Eve. But if you look at Scripture, it says all of us came from the descendants of Noah's three sons and their wives. Modern genetics show we're all related. The Israelites had forgotten that we're all related, that we were all children of Adam. And God had a plan for everybody. Recently, the new space radar telescope, emphasis on radar telescope, has been, their picture's been posted saying, "This is what it looks like." Well, that's not what it looks like. That's a colorized version of the radar signal being received because it's not an optical telescope. But there are different wavelengths that radar receives, but it's saying, "Oh, look, we can see to the edge of the universe." That's all God's. God created all that. He is there. He is here. He is everywhere. And it's just like one little grain of rice up in the night sky. That's what that image it releases. But it's all over everywhere. It goes that way every direction. And God knows every planet, every star by name. In 2 weeks, I'm going to have to learn a new set of names. Every now and then, I see one of my former students. I remember their face, their name. I don't have my little cheat sheet there in front of me to help me remember it. Well, there's a couple of me. As I tell some students when they come into alternative school, if all the teachers already know your name before you get here, it's not necessarily a good thing. They've heard about your reputation. Well, God knows what's on every planet. You know, we send little spacecraft to Mars to look at the rocks. Why are all those rocks there? So we can go, "Wow, look what God did. He made that even though nobody had seen it for thousands of years until we sent a camera there. And then we get to see all these neat things. You can go to the bottom of the ocean and see things people have never seen before. More people have been walking on the moon than have been to the deepest part of our ocean. There are things on our planet that we have never seen, but God knows all about them. Peter says, I truly understand what I didn't understand before. I understand now that God is someone that has salvation for everyone who fears him and do what is acceptable to him. This just involves knowing who's in charge. We're not in charge. We have trouble seeing, you know, when we're down at Galveston, we try to look out at the ships coming in, and that Saharan dust made it a little hazy. And we could see some of the rigs and the ships lining up to come in the channel, but you couldn't see them real clearly. We definitely couldn't see people that were on those ships or some of the oil rigs we could see out of the distance. We saw their lights, but God sees everything clearly. He's in charge. We aren't. We're limited. There was a TV show that might still be on, Undercover Boss. And every now and then, the CEO of a company would go undercover in his own company, and he'd pretend to be just a worker there. And on some of the episodes, the people are bad-mouthing the boss. To the boss! They just don't know it's the boss. You know, if I was in charge, I wouldn't do it like that guy does. He just doesn't know what he's doing. And saying all kind of things. And then, you know, I ignore the rules that he says because I know better. Well, when they find out that they've been telling all this to the boss, there's a change of perspective. Suddenly, there's a fear of the person they've been talking to. One of them, I remember saying, am I fired? Never seen anybody fired on Undercover Boss that I remember. A lot of people had some stern talking to's. A lot of people had some re-education training they had to go through. A lot of them had a new respect for who was in charge. And maybe they need to follow the rules that the boss put in charge. Well, God is in charge of everything. And he has ways that he wants us to do things. Because he knows the long-term consequences, the short-term consequences that we haven't even thought about. God knows all the details. He knows what's inside our cells. Before we even realized there were cells in our body. And there's a neat little molecule called laminin. Look it up. It's what binds things together. And I'll tell you, it looks like a cross. A neat little thing that God has for us to discover when we get the technology to discover things. The more technology we get, the more we discover how intricate God's design is. And then Peter goes on to say, verse 36, he sent the message to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Each day, except Sunday, we generally get mail. Most of the time it's junk mail. Well, somebody sent that mail, and somebody delivers the mail. The mailman is very, 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 very rarely the one that sent the mail. He's just carrying the mail. And when we get a letter from someone that we want to hear from, it's the mailman that delivered it. Now we have text message and all that. Just my illustrations break down if we dig too deep. The mailman is not the most important person. The person that sent the message is the important person. The Israelites were the mailmen. They had a message to deliver. But they said, we're the mailmen. We're special. Then deliver the mail. But they wouldn't deliver the mail. But God had chosen them to deliver the message that God is Lord of all. He's the boss. There's no boss above God. You know, if God wanted to, he could let those new telescopes go out and see his fingers holding the universe together. If he wanted to. Because the whole universe is in God's hands. God is in charge of everything. He's not a local God. Only. He is a local God. So local, he's right with each of us. And so big, he's every part of the universe. You know, if somebody wants to be an astronaut, they don't have to ever fear having their rocket go so far that God can't hear their prayer. God's already there. If God tarries and people get to move to the moon and Mars, God's there. And if God tarries, you know, there needs to be missionaries on the moon and Mars. We need to remember, God is the God everywhere. And then Peter begins telling him, you know the events that took place throughout all Judea, from the baptism of John, and he goes on talking all about what Jesus did. You've heard. You've all heard about Chernobyl. But you might not know all the details. You've all heard about the planes crashing into the World Trade Center building, but you might not all know all the details. There's a show called Seconds from Disaster, and it goes into all the details behind the scene. Well, Peter's saying, you've heard about Jesus, you heard about all he did, now let me tell you what's really going on behind the scenes. Let me tell you the whole story, because we are witnesses. We were there. We saw everything. We saw a resurrected Jesus Christ. And we were called to testify. You know, there's a lot of preachers. Tony Evans does it a lot too. So, can I get a testimony? Can I get a witness? Somebody say, amen. I agree with that. I know that's the truth. And this is part of where that comes from. Can I get a testimony? Somebody saying, this is true. And Peter saying, I'm the one that's testifying about this. I'm telling you the truth. We were there. Let me explain the truth to you. In 2 weeks, school teachers are going back to teach students. There's important things they need to learn. And the teachers are tasked with making sure they learn that. Now, I'm not going to have to teach them about genetics. I might throw some of that in just to make them go, wow. Okay. But there's a lot of wow things around, because God has made things to let us go, wow. But my job is to teach. Count 1 to 20. And learn your ABCs. That's my main job. If my kids can do their ABCs and count 1 to 20, I've done a good job this coming year. But when you're starting with nothing, well, I don't know what they're starting with. They're starting with me, so they're starting with nothing. But my task is to get that little thing going. Well, Peter saying, I'm here to testify that Jesus has brought salvation to everyone who believes. And then it says, and while Peter was still speaking, you know, God didn't wait until Peter was done. Because if you know anything about Peter, Peter's never done talking. God said, I see that they believed, and he sends the Holy Spirit. They received their diploma. They were graduated from being unsaved to being saved. And the circumcised believers there with Peter were amazed. How can that be? Now, I've always been interested in spaceships. And I remember when I was growing up, I had a model of the Saturn V rocket. It stood about that tall, and it would separate out, and friends would come over, and I'd explain how everything would work with the spaceship landing on the moon. Well, most of that spaceship, except for the little capsule at the top with the three astronauts on it, burned up in the atmosphere. But there came along this guy named Elon Musk, and he said, you know, I can make them land again, and we can use them again. And one day I was watching on the NASA channel, and not one, but two of his rockets came and landed on this pad right next to where they took off from. And that was amazing, because that had never been done before. NASA had blown up a lot of rockets, burned up a lot of rockets. Elon Musk had a few blow up too when he's trying to figure out how to get them to land. But now it's an everyday thing. He launches a rocket, it'll come back and land, standing straight up. Going, wow, that's amazing. Well, that's the kind of amazing that these circumcised believers were. You go, what? Gentiles get the Holy Spirit too? I don't believe it. They saw with their own eyes. There were at least six people that had come with Peter. And the whole reason was because they didn't think Gentiles should be able to be saved. The message was for the circumcised believers and for Peter, more than it was for Cornelius. Because Cornelius knew that he could have a relationship with God. Peter and the circumcised believers, that's the Jewish heritage believers, they thought it was just for Jewish people. And they were amazed that God had allowed salvation to be approved for everyone. And then Peter goes, what's going to stop them from being baptized? They got the Holy Spirit just like we did. Because it was a lesson. Peter and circumcised believers had to realize we're not special. We're just like everybody else. We all are saved the same way. Peter had a lesson to learn. He started out his message saying, now I truly understand, but he didn't truly understand until the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and those that believed in the audience. God wants everyone in the entire world to be saved. He has chosen some people to be messengers. And the messengers are not the only ones to get saved. Everyone who believes the message. And we are all messengers to someone. Go tell someone what you know about Jesus Christ. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. After this point, the Holy Spirit comes at the moment of salvation for each believer. But before this, there was a lesson to be taught. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to the Jewish believers. In Samaria, in chapter 8, the Holy Spirit came to show that God had approved of half-Jewish, half-Gentile people, the Samaritans. And here in chapter 10, the Holy Spirit comes on everybody else. It was a lesson that needed to be taught. And the Holy Spirit came when they were Jewish believers. Apostles were present to see what had happened. Peter's going to go back to Jerusalem. And the apostles and those of the circumcision group go, "What do you mean, going down there eating with the Gentiles? Explain this to us. What you did wasn't right." And Peter's going to go back and testify to those that have already been Christians, but the light bulb hadn't gone on yet, that God wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't force anybody to be saved, but He wants everybody to be saved. Everybody you tell about Jesus is not going to accept Jesus as their Savior. But they need to hear. Some people won't accept Jesus as their Savior when you tell them. But that seed can be planted and years later, it germinates. We're not told to save people. We're just told to tell people how to be saved. So let's go do that. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for the example of hard-headed Peter, because we're hard-headed too. Sometimes we think things ought to be done the way we want them done, but you have a better plan. And just like you taught Peter, salvation is for everyone. Let us also understand and apply that as we go and tell others about your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.